Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. We're in a series right now called Executive Orders, God's Way and God's Will. And I'm really passionate about the church and believers getting back to the foundational aspects of our faith and the foundational elements of what makes us as believers and God's original intention for humanity, you know, because a lot of people would either like to politicize our purpose as believers, or we're here to make change in nations and even influence some sort of kind of weird pseudo-Christian narrative that tries to disciple. I don't know what I'm trying to say. They make it more political than anything else. And I don't believe that's what Jesus called us to do. He called us to be salt and light, but I think that's just a change is a byproduct of Jesus walking in the room. It's not, we're not trying to go change things and point fingers from a distance. Jesus never just called people out, but wherever he went, he showed up and people's lives changed. Amen. You know, he was walking down the street and a woman with an issue of blood reached out and touched his garment and she was healed. Right? He was in a room and a guy who was paralyzed was lowered down from the ceiling because they had to get their buddy who was paralyzed to Jesus. Wherever Jesus went, things changed. And so I really believe that God's called believers first and foremost to be in relationship with him. And wherever people who are in relationship with Jesus go, things change. It's just a byproduct of who we are walking with. It's not anything that we have to try and conjure up ourselves. It's just who we are as believers when we're walking with him and walking in his will and walking in his ways. Amen. So God's original intention, we've got to go back to the beginning. We just came out of a series called New Beginnings, where we talked about Genesis and the beginning of things and how we start our year and all that stuff. But if you want to look at God's original intention for humanity, you've got to look at the first mention of humanity in the Bible, which is in the book of Genesis. And God, in the book of Genesis, he commands humanity to do a lot of things. He says, be fruitful and multiply, have dominion over the earth, have dominion over every creature of the earth. He says, be fruitful and multiply, and he tells them, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He gives us a few commands, which is pretty wild. That's a lot of trust, you know. She's 14 months old right now, and I can't tell her nothing, okay? She does what she wants around the house, okay? I say, don't do that. What'd she do? Exactly what I told her not to do. And so I can't keep my baby from doing anything right now. So that's a lot of trust that God had to say, here, I'm going to put you in this garden. You can do whatever you want except for that, right? And so God intended for us, humanity, to be in relationship with him in a garden created by him, but tended by us. So he gives us all this freedom. He says, hey, take care of this garden and multiply it over all the earth, because the earth didn't have a lot going on except for this garden at the time. And so all that was entrusted to humanity by us, by God, to us. And God would walk in relationship with man, right? When on the day that Adam and Eve fell, God was walking through the garden in the cool of the day looking for Adam and Eve. He was doing what he normally would do on a regular day. Humanity had the opportunity to walk with God daily with no separation of sin, no shame, no bondage, no fear, none of that. They got to walk with God and be in relationship with him daily, unhindered from any separation. And that is God's original intention for all of us in humanity, to walk freely with him and be in relationship with him. That's it. We can complicate it a lot. We like to add a lot, bunch of rules and regulations and stuff to it. And we'll get to the rules. I like to say I'm a rule follower, but I think there's Not in the Bible, there's not any gray areas, but some other places, there's some gray area. Do I really have to go like 45 through here, all the way from Clemson? I got here early this morning, I'll just say that. But I try to be a rule follower, but we like to try and complicate things, right? We like to try and make up rules and say, you can't do that, you can't go there. But I think the garden in God's original intention destroys all that, right? Relationship, walking with him daily. So we were intended to be in relationship with God, walking in a garden. And like I said, in freedom to be in relationship with God. Freedom's the main word here, because freedom is heaven's highest priority. If we don't have freedom, we don't have anything, right? Genesis 2, verses 8 and 9, it says this. It says, "Now the Lord God planted a garden in the east in Eden. There he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all thing kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So God puts man in the garden, and he puts two choices before him. He says, you can eat of the tree of life, or you can eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we would not have one of the biggest gifts that God gave humanity was free will. Why would he do that? Why, you're God, why don't you just make it so we have to follow you? You're God, right? You can do whatever you want. But how many of you know that's not a real relationship if there's no choice, right? I've seen so many, I'm learning about it right now, I've seen so many dysfunctional relationships where there's been times where there's been domestic violence or some sort of altercation in a toxic relationship in a home where the one partner, and it's not always women, but a lot of times it's women where the woman's scared to leave the relationship because she's afraid of what would happen if she left, or she's not able to provide for herself. So she stays in an abusive relationship because she feels like she has to. She's no longer in a relationship. She's not a girlfriend or a wife or a husband. She's a hostage at that point, you know? And God didn't create us to be hostages. He created us to be loved and be loved by him. And so he created us to be friends of God, right? Yeah. To be friends, to walk with him. And so that's why he gave us a choice, you know? I am married. I've been married for 14 years, going on 15 in June. And I choose to stay married to my wife. I choose to go on dates with her still. I choose to wake up and say good morning and all of those things, not because I have to, because I signed a contract and said, well, I guess I'm stuck now, and I got my ring tattooed on my finger because it's way easier to not lose it if it's not going anywhere. And so it's pretty permanent now with us, but I don't do those things. I don't love on my wife on Valentine's Day because I have to. I do it because I want to. And that's God's original intention, that he wanted to be in relationship with us so bad. He gave us everything we needed. And all we have to do is say yes. All we have to do is choose to be in relationship with him. If you don't catch anything today, catch that he still wants to be in relationship with you way more than you can ever ask, think, or imagine. I mean, even John 3:16 just lays it out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Even before the garden, right? Jesus is the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. Even before that, he had a plan. He had an intention for us, humanity, to be in relationship with him. And he made a way where there seemed to be no way for you, for me. And so he gives us the gift of free will to choose him over anything else the world has to offer. Think about that. He gave us the free will to choose him or to not to choose him. Every healthy marriage, every healthy friendship, every romantic relationship is based on two people choosing to be with each other. God's intent, God's the original, he created everything. He created us to be in relationship. So why would his relationship with us be any different than any other relationship? It's based on two people choosing to be in relationship with another. You know, like there, I've got some friends that live on the other side of the country. Well, I'd say the other kind of side of the country. They live in like, what's that state? Missouri, that's it. Ain't nothing going on up there. But but they live out in the middle of nowhere. And so I have to choose to stay friends with them by calling them, texting them, staying on the phone with them. I don't get to see them every day like I used to. And so I have to choose to be intentional to keep up with that relationship. You know, it's not, I don't have to, but I want to because I value my best friend and I value that relationship. And I still make fun of him for moving to a place that's boring and gets cold and they got nothing going on up there. But despite all that, I still want to be his friend. And so I make the choice to give him a call and see how he's doing and check in on him and talk, catch up, whatever. But it's all because I want to, you know, I don't have to. And so God does this again. He gives us a tree in the beginning, and then to the people of Israel, he sets before them a covenant where he says, if you keep my commandments, if you follow what I've laid out for you, which is healthy. That's another thing too, that it's not a whole bunch of rules like don't do. Like if you read it, it's all about like protecting our relationship with him. It's healthy things, you know. It's not, I think sometimes, and I've heard it said that sometimes the, I don't know how to say this without sounding like really legalistic, but sometimes the consequences of our actions, sometimes the judgment we're looking for sometimes ends up coming in the God letting, the worst thing that could happen to us is for God to let us have what we want. Does that make sense? When we want it, you know? Like, I'm not rich by any means, but I have more money than I used to when I was a teenager, and I'm glad that teenage me wasn't making what I make now, because teenage me would have gotten into a lot more trouble than 35-year-old me. And so the Lord put some of those rules and restrictions on the people of Israel, not because he was trying to control them, but he was trying to keep them safe in a lot of ways. And so his protection, and it comes with that. And so I'm going to read what the Lord said to the people of Israel. He says in Deuteronomy verse 30, 15 through 19, he says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience and keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." Sounds great, doesn't it? Everybody wants that. But here it goes. It says, "But if your heart turns away," if we step out of relationship with him, right? "If your heart turns away and you are not obedient, if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing to the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." You see, his promises are to prosper us, to walk in that land of promise. But he said, but if you choose to follow other gods, if you choose to step out of relationship with me, there are going to be consequences. It's a byproduct of stepping out of relationship with God. You step out of his you step out of his favor, out of his protection in a way, especially the people of Israel did. There are consequences for that. So when their disobedience brought all kinds of stuff onto them, you know, they were kicked out, they were brought back, they were conquered, and there's so many times where the Lord's like, listen, if all you have to do is return to me. You know, in 2 Chronicles, he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked ways, and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and heal your land. He said, I love that we try it. We pray that over the United States sometimes. But a lot of times it's not that the United States needs to do it. It's that the people of God need to do it. Right? Because the Lord's not speaking to everybody in a nation. He's speaking to his people in that nation. And so when we try and apply an Old Testament verse in this time, in this context, it's speaking to the people of God. And so if the people of God would humble themselves, if the people of God, what I said I was going to do. And so God lays out a choice. He said, from the garden, this tree, this tree. I think in Deuteronomy, it's within the context of two mountains. He says, if you worship me, you can get this. If you enter into the land of promise, you'll be prosperous. You'll live in there and you'll have a long life. But if you turn away from me, you won't have this promise for long. And so the consequences of stepping out of relationship with God aren't that God is angry or mad. Honestly, it's just the opposite. I think his heart breaks when we choose something less than what he originally intended for us to choose, you know? Because God's way is so much better for us than anything that I... God's plan for my life is so much better than anything that I could have dreamt of. You know? Even in this stage of my life where I'm like, man, I thought I had it all figured out 10 years ago, and now I'm in a totally different place than I thought I was going to be. Right? And so when we look at it like that, I really truly believe that the Lord has that for each and every single one of us, where he's got a plan. He's got a timeline, in so to speak, but it's not just up and to the right, you know. It's not a linear path, you know. He's taking us on a journey. He's taking us on an adventure, in a sense, where we don't know where the next step is, but he does. And it doesn't take and it takes trust in any relationship, but especially with the Lord, to say, Lord, I don't know where I'm going next, but I trust you. You know, I don't know what 2025 has for me, but I trust you, Lord. And it takes, I've heard it said this, that trust is earned in drops and lost in buckets. So it's so easy to lose trust with people. Everybody, you're thinking about somebody right now that you just can't trust as far as you can throw them. If I told you to call somebody right now and ask them to come pick you up at 3:00, you know they're gonna show up at 3:15, 3:30. Like, hey, sorry, like, you know. We all know somebody who's untrustworthy. We know what that's like, but how many of you know that we can trust in God 100% of the time? He has never failed us. He's never let us down. He's never going to let us down. However, trusting him and him not letting us down looks a lot different, because God might not show up when we want him to, But he'll show up when we need him to show up the most. And he'll reveal himself. And so it takes trust to follow God. It takes trust to be in a relationship with him. It takes trust to step out in faith. And I don't want a relationship that doesn't require trust. That's just me personally. So what about me? You know, we're talking about the Garden of Eden. We're talking about Israel. I'm in the New Testament. We're the New Testament church. We're covered by the blood of Jesus, right? I'm saved. And I know there's a lot of people, as none of us in here, but we'll say, well, I've got freedom in Jesus to do whatever I want to do now. I'm covered in the blood, right? And you've all heard people say things like this. God knows my heart. Mm-hmm. He does. And that's you don't when somebody says that, just step back a couple feet, okay? Because you don't know what's about to pop off. Or something like this. The Bible doesn't say I can't drink. I just had a couple at the bar. Or like, the Bible doesn't say I can't smoke weed. God made plants, right? Or I'm just friends with that person at work. It's not really anything. And how many times do people say things and try and justify getting so close to sin and just like see how close they can get without actually stepping into it? Well, I just had a couple drinks at the bar. It's not a big deal. God made a plant. Nothing really happened with that person. But when we try and justify our selfishness and our own desires, and we try and justify trying to get as close to the line of disobedience as we can, we've already missed it with the Lord. See, the Lord's not asking us to see how close to sin we can get without doing it. The Lord's looking to see how obedient and how close to him we can get without wanting anything else the world has to offer. Because see, when I'm near to God, nothing else is appealing to me. Nothing else could satisfy me the way the Lord does. No other relationship, no drug, no drink, nothing. So instead of trying to keep one foot close to the world and try and stay close to God and like, I know like I'm good on Sunday and all that stuff, we just got to like take a radical step and just throw ourselves on the mercy and trust of the Lord and say, Lord, I want you more than anything else. That's you know what that is? That's the garden right here. That's his walking with him daily. This is clear and nothing separating us, just me and God walking daily in the garden with him, in the secret place. When so many people try and, oh, let me see how close I can get. I was just at the club. I wasn't like at the club. You know what I'm saying? But Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free. Called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love. Another one is John 12, verse 21. It says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I love you. And we love him because he first loved us, right? Amen. I love Jesus because he took a high school dropout who was about to lose everything as a teenager. And he turned my entire world upside down. He loved me so much on my worst days. I choose to love him because he loved me first. He found me when I didn't have anybody else. I called 3 youth pastors before somebody picked up the phone. I had a bunch of like people, and this is something that I'm passionate about, but young people need consistency in their lives. And so when I was a teenager, my church went through new youth pastors like every 6 months almost. And so I'd build trust with one person and then they would leave. And then I'd try and build trust with another person and then they'd leave. And then eventually I was like, you know what? I'm just going to goof off in the back of the classroom and get kicked out. And so I kind of left the church and gotten caught up in drugs and alcohol and partying and skipping school and stuff, to where I was, my parents didn't want to deal with me, the school didn't want to deal with me, and I was at a place where I was going to have to do some sort of alternative school with like a juvenile facility or move back in with my parents at the age of 16, but my parents didn't want me. So I told them I'd go to church if they let me stay at their house. And so on one of the worst days of my life, I'm sitting in church and the Lord called me out. He said, "You're living below where I called you to live." You know, and so and we all have those stories. We can remember the day that the Lord reached down and picked us up and said, "You're mine." You know. And some of us, I was raised in church and I left and came back. And other people, I know people who grew up an atheist, didn't care about God or anything. And then one day at a Bible study at a college campus where they just wanted to talk to the girl that invited them, they get radically saved in the middle of all of it. And everybody has a different story. So you can remember that one moment where you said, "God, I'd rather have you than anything else." We love him because he first loved us. And we keep his commands because we love him. So we don't want to fall out of relationship with him. We don't want to break that trust. We don't want to just treat him like it doesn't matter, like it's nothing worth, like it's worthless. His relationship with me is worth so much. Remember that his will for us is to be in relationship with him, free from the separation and bondage of sin. And so here's a question I like to ask people, and you can ask it, answer it to yourself, but how do I know God's will for my life? You know, we got so many options nowadays. I see a lot of young people. I used to be a young adults pastor and full-time ministry, or they didn't know if they were supposed to go to college, and they didn't know what to do. And I said, "Well, what does the Bible say?" And they're like, "Ben, Pastor Ben, that's not going to help me right now. Like, I need you to tell me like what I should do." And I'm like, "Oh, we're past that, buddy. Like, you." How do I know God's will for my life? That's the biggest question I can ask people, is what does the Bible say? What does the Word say? Because my Bible in Psalm 119, verse 105 says that his Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you don't know what direction to go, maybe we should spend some more time in the Word of God. I tell people all the time, a lot of people who are directionless or Bible-less, they don't know where to go because they haven't spent enough time in the Word. So even if they did want to be on a path, they don't have a lamp bright enough to find the path. But when you're standing on the Word of God and you've got it in your heart, you've hidden his Word in your heart that you wouldn't sin against him, you know exactly where to go because you know what, well, that's not. Kingdom of heaven isn't over there. I'm going to stay on this. And Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is a narrow road. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. How do I stay on that narrow path? It's in the Word of God. How do I know his will? It's in the Word of God. Because you discover, and I've said this before, you discover who you are when you read the Word, right? It's a mirror. It reveals to you who you really are. So when you're reading the Bible, don't read it for, I do it too. I'm like, oh, dang, my wife needs to read that verse. But I've been married for 14 years, so I know better by now most of the time. But read it for you. Don't just read the Bible. Let the Bible read you. You know? People come to me all the time, Pastor Ben, I haven't heard a word from the Lord in a long time, you know? And a lot of people rely on, like, prophetic words, in a sense, or the Spirit speaking through somebody to someone else. And I believe in all those gifts to the Spirit and everything, but we get too reliant on someone else to tell us what the Lord's speaking to us when we can just read and get in His Word and find out for ourselves. I've heard it said, when you can't hear a word, you can read a word. When you can't audibly hear a clear direct, you can read the Word of God, and He'll reveal Himself to you there. Just like anything else, that if something's broken, what do? Or we can't figure out how something's working, what do? We return to the instruction manual, right? And fellas, we're terrible at reading the manual when we're trying to put together a new grill or a bed frame or something. We're like, I got this. I've done this before. And I found that the older I get and the more stuff my wife orders from Amazon, the more complicated things are. You order a dresser and it comes like with a little Allen wrench, and that's it. And they're like, the instructions are in Chinese, and this just says good luck, you know? And you're looking at pictures sometimes, and I built things upside down before. I'll just say that, okay? I'm not too proud to admit it. But if you want to know how something works or if something's not working properly, we got to go back to the instruction manual. You know, He created us, right? And He wrote the book on how we should live our lives. And so when we're looking for His will and our place in the earth and where we fit into this huge story that He's writing, we've got to find it for ourselves in the Word of God. And I would much rather have God tell me who I am than somebody else. I would much rather try and be who God created me to be than try and live up to some fake standard that someone else put on me to be. Because God's not going to, the only version of us that the Lord's going to bless is the one that He created. It's about His will. We're learning about God's will and what His ways. And there are things about God we can only learn when we're in close proximity to Him. And I tell this story all the time where social media is cool because we can follow our favorite football player, favorite basketball player. We can keep up with whoever. And so, like, I can be a fan. I'll just use this as an example. I'm not a big LeBron James fan, but a lot of people are, and I was a youth pastor, so I use this as an example. But, like, I can follow LeBron James on Instagram, and I can know that every Tuesday he's having tacos with his family on Taco Tuesday because I follow him on social media. He talks about it. And I can know that about him, but I don't know what kind, I don't know him, you know? I can follow my favorite actor. I can follow Johnny Depp or Robert Downey Jr. on social media, and I can know what kind of order they get from Starbucks, but do I know why they order that from Starbucks? No. And we can learn a lot of things about God without knowing God a lot of times. And knowing His knowing about someone is a lot different than knowing them personally. And the same thing on social media for all of us. If we only post the good things about us on social media and all the highlights or whatever, nobody sees the, I'm not going to post about my worst day on Instagram. Nobody wants to see that, you know? But we get to know the highlights of who people want us to see or want us to be on there. But when it comes to the Lord, we can know about God, but not know him personally. Psalm 103 says this. It says, he made his ways known to Moses, but his deeds to the people of Israel. He made his ways known to Moses, but he made his deeds known to the people of Israel. So I kind of put it like this. He made his why known to Moses, but he made his what known to the people of Israel. The people of Israel knew what God was saying. Moses got a peek behind the veil, in a sense, where he got to see God as he passed through the cliff or the rock. And he got to see more of the glory of God than any other person at the time got to see. Why? Because he was in relationship with him. He was a friend of God. And I don't know about you, but I want to make sure, and I want to be in a place with the Lord where I'm walking with him in the cool of the day, when I'm in that garden place, where I'm in my secret place with God, where I just don't know what about God, but I want to know why about God. I don't want to just know his deeds, but I want to know his ways. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. There's a place where we can get with God, where we can learn so much more about him and his ways. And it's in the secret place with God. So we've got to return to the garden. We've got to return to his original intention for our lives, for all of humanity. If every believer spent that time in the garden with God, in their secret place, in that place where they can grow and learn and speak to him face to face the way he intended for us to go, we'd be a lot nicer to each other. Right? And I say that jokingly, but that's just an example. We would bear so much more fruit in our lives. We would bear so much more fruit to the world. You know, that the reason why a lot of times people say this all the time, I don't have any problems with Jesus. I have a problem with his church a lot of times. And the enemy has taken advantage of that. And he's sown a lie into the world that says, oh, well, the church is just going to judge you. They're just going to be, I haven't met too many judgmental people at church. For the most part, they've been very gracious. They've been very kind. They've been very patient. Right? But somehow the enemy has taken advantage of a few people who just weren't bearing the fruit. But if the people of God would draw near to God and walk with him the way he originally intended, we would get to know his ways. And once we get to know his ways, we can learn to walk in his ways. And when we walk in his ways, people's lives get changed. Jesus was the ultimate example of that. I said it at the beginning. When Jesus walked in the room, things changed. People got healed. People got raised from the dead. One lady ran into the whole town and said, hey, come see a man who told me everything I ever did wrong. I wouldn't do that. Hey, this dude knows everything about me. They're like, I wasn't going to tell everybody, hey, don't go to the well right now. Y'all can show up later after he's gone, but don't go now because you'll hear some, But she met Jesus, and he revealed who he really was to her, and she had to tell every single person in the town. And I'm speaking of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And so the reason, I'll end with this. This wasn't even in my notes, but the reason why Jesus was able to minister to her the way he was because he was carrying that living water inside of him, right? When he stood at the well and he said, if you knew the gift of God who was before you, you would ask me for a drink. He said to her, if you knew who I was, you would want what I have. And then he reveals himself as the Messiah, as the Christ, in a way that only he can. And it transformed that woman's life, and she became an evangelist to the whole town. So when we walk in the garden, and we walk in his will, and we walk in obedience to him, we walk in relationship with him, we walk in that freedom that he intended for us to walk in. Now on this side of the cross, through the blood of Jesus, we have unlimited access to the presence of God. We are in relationship with him. When we do that, and we're walking with him, I truly believe that things can change. We'll walk in a way that will transform people's lives and transform people's hearts. And when that happens, cities change and neighborhoods change, and we'll see ultimately a revival. And so, Lord, I pray and I thank you today that, Lord, you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, Lord. And you called us yours, Lord. You made us sons and daughters of the living God. And so, Lord, today, thank you for, or honestly, just laying it out plainly to us, Lord. You've always given us an option, a choice. And, Lord, today, we're saying, Lord, as a church and as a people, Lord, we choose you. We choose life. We choose relationship with you. We choose to love you, Lord. Jesus, we choose to worship you for who you are and what you've done, Lord. And Lord, today we choose to walk in your ways, to walk in your will, Lord. Because your way is better than any other way. Lord, we've sought high and low, Lord. I've tasted a lot of things that the world has to offer, Lord, and none of them compare to you, Lord. And Lord, today we say yes, Lord. And Lord, just search our hearts this week, Lord, as we go about our daily routines, Lord, and in our daily lives. If there's anything that you want to change, if you want to adjust, Lord, if there's things that you've put your finger on, Lord, the Spirit's wanting to adjust in our hearts, Lord, we just say we're open to it today. Lord, make us more like you, Lord. Lord, thank you that you don't just speak to us, Lord, from mountaintops anymore. Lord, you speak to our hearts, Lord. You speak to us through your word. Lord, we have your Spirit dwelling in our hearts, Lord. We have access to your voice and your word, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for your word and your will. Help us to walk in your ways daily, Lord. In Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody said, amen, amen. Thank you for having us this morning.